23 سال
16 سال
عمري ما هفت
اما داعش کردیم برانبر خوشکو دایکان یزدی اما کاری که دور دور لهمو چمت دیموکراسی و مافکانی مرو و انسانیت او بارو دوخی که ایست های به تایبت ایراق و سوریا بشه که دگریت و با او حالانه که اداره اوباما کرد
ریم بو او هفت روش من بو و داعش از کرد
تام بوم کرا قوتینی از گریا با ما متشکر به هر پیدن نبو باوان رحم نبو
خودم نو سوالم من خادران نجر باوان نوستم بس نه من گو بس نش پیش وش پاش
They would literally be auctioned in front of soldiers, and then the soldiers begin to bid.
Zarud van hamu jibere. Che hamri zarud idem ahwasi sevan hamu jibere.
Bashi geriye ki tavau tavau ayara. Zulme ki yejar zul gavrala mafratana kirava taada ki zul zul yanlida ki. Ama na rojana das fruşida ki.
Imagine being a child, you know, having a child mentality, and these evil people come and wheel you away from the only safety you've ever known.
Welcome back to the Mel Kay Show. One of my favorite filmmakers and one of the just an endless warrior for human trafficking and sex trafficking and child trafficking. What she's done with her life in the last several years is nothing short of heroic. And I'm very honored to welcome back Kelly Galindo to the show. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing amazing. And I'm so not only honored to be on your show, but so happy to see you again. I haven't seen you in a while and you look amazing.
Thank you. You've been busy. You've been busy. I want to talk a little bit about what you've done over the last several years. You know, lots of people are out there. There was a spotlight put on child trafficking, sex trafficking, all of that. You and I had both talked for years before Sound of Freedom came out. You were in this well before that. So let's talk a little bit about your background and how you got started really going around the entire world trying to put together the dots of sex trafficking worldwide.
Yeah, it started I had seen this episode on Dateline that it was years ago. I mean, this is right. More than 10 years ago on sex tourism in Thailand and Cambodia. And I was just sickened. Like, it basically gave a green light to Westerners, Americans, Australians, Canadians, Europeans, and they go to Thailand to rape children, basically, and they get away with it. And I was sickened. So I said, I have to do something. We got to create some kind of awareness. So it took me a while, but I finally found a nonprofit. It's called Destiny Rescue, that was doing work in prevention, rescue, restoration, and reintegration. So they kind of did it from A to Z, because a lot of organizations, sometimes they'll just they just do prevention, or they just do rescue, or they just do reintegration, right. But they kind of did it from A to Z. So I thought, great organization for me to go with. So that was approved. And I went to Thailand and Cambodia, and this was in 2016. It was a long time ago. Yeah. So we filmed, I came home, I did the short, which, and you were lovely enough to have me on for the short.
It. Unbelievable.
And and it was a short. It was only 7 minutes, 43 seconds. It was really, but it like hit everything. It won over 20 awards, so it did well. But once I had gone to Thailand, I realized, just from talking to Destiny Rescue, because they were in Thailand, Cambodia, Laos, Philippines, Dominican Republic, India, Nepal. Like, I'm like, what? So I said, can I please shoot with you, you know, in India or somewhere? So they said, sure. So we had planned that for the following summer. Well, what happens is all of these organizations, you know, it's a small world for them. So they kind of all know each other, even in another country. So each one would introduce me to another. So filming kept going, and I thought, okay, God, it's your project. So I'll keep going until you say it's enough is enough. So, you know, 9 countries later, I filmed in 9 countries. And then, as you know, I think this is when I interviewed with you, the pandemic hit. So I just created a YouTube channel to create awareness and a call to action and to market 26 seconds. But more importantly, which we've talked about, because you're interested in that as well, is I highlighted some of the nonprofits that are doing great work. And we can talk about this because there's a lot of nonprofits out there that aren't so great.
I know. Right? I know. So you told me a long time ago when we first started digging in. Also, I want people to understand that you're a film professor. You teach film as well. And that is a thing. We're very lucky to have you because as you and I both know, there's a lot of control over what people can make, what people can put out. And your level of talent is not wasted because you get to teach it. But at the same time, getting distribution for this stuff is very hard. And luckily, you teach at a university, so you have access to equipment and all of that. But that's not really the hard part. And you had to go through figuring out how to not only make the projects, but then distribute them. And there, at the time when you were first starting to get this project out, there was a lot of pushback. There wasn't a lot of people willing. Now, that's changed a lot, luckily, over the last several years. But you also, you know, you faced that same thing that the Sound of Freedom guys and other people face, which is they don't really want to go to this subject matter. And how has that changed since you started in 2015 to now?
Well, like I would say 80% more is, and a lot of it is because it's on the news every day,
right?
Sex trafficking, human trafficking, thank God awareness is being created, but also Sound of Freedom opened a huge door, you know, I mean, because it did so well. But the difference between Sound of Freedom and my project is theirs is a movie and it does replicate what's going on, but a documentary, you get a chance to hear the real survivor of what they've been through or the organization that's helping. So, you know, there's a difference in that aspect, but yeah, I have the same uphill battle as they did, but it is better. But good. I want to share with you.
Yeah.
Yes. I feel blessed that I was able to use the equipment, you know, where I teach and I've been there 20 years and I love it.
Right.
But it's become more and more woke. Like even I am, I applied at Biola. It's a Christian film school and I'm going to start in fall and I'm very excited about it. Lindsay Snyder. I don't know if you know who that is.
No.
Lindsay Snyder is the CEO of In-N-Out. You might not have In-N-Outs in
New
York.
But you know, I lived in LA for 20 years, so I'm very familiar.
Okay, so you know In-N-Out. So I met Lindsay years ago and she goes, Kelly, I love your project, but we just don't donate to films. We only donate to nonprofits.
Right.
Long story short, you know, here now we are 7 years later, she just donated $23 million to Biola Film School. So she found a way to like, okay, let me put this money into this film school and let those young people, isn't that amazing?
Yes, we need that. We need that so much. God bless her. I did see they were standing up against all of this. So that's awesome. It's really, really important. We've been decimated in our business, you know, from when I left Hollywood. I already had seen it. You and I both talked about this in the early 2000s. If you were in it, you started to see the BLM, the CRT, the, you know, the woke stuff, the DEI, and it really affected the industry. And never so much did I see this until I'm seeing still what's coming out. And it's still very, the stories that you and I went into filmmaking for barely get made. And when they get made, it's so hard to get distribution. I even saw Martin Scorsese in his 80s, God bless him, saying like, if he was to make films now, he doesn't even think that, you know, it's not the same world. And, you know, and you've got to see the evolution of the filmmaker because you teach film too. So that's probably changed a lot as well.
And you know what? I didn't even understand it when they told me, but the film school, I don't even want to now name the film school because I don't want to call them out, but they had said to me, you'd think they would have been so excited. They knew I was working on this for years. Right. I had a lot of
accolades and awards. Yeah.
Well, and student interns, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you'd think they'd be, and they were like, oh, Kelly, when they found out I got distribution on Epic TV or Epoch TV, they said, oh, Kelly, we can't get behind you. We can't support you because we'll lose our Chinese students. I said, what? Well, I didn't even know what they meant. So I checked with all of my Chinese interns. I know.
That's what we're dealing with. That's a perfect story of that. And, you know, people have to understand it's a very because you teach. When I graduated from school, you know, there was still Avid. There was still, Beta. You were still shooting on film. You had to evolve as a filmmaker to the digital realm, to all of that. Then, of course, there was all the strikes. So now there's the whole advent of AI. But I personally believe, and I wonder if you do too, it's never going to change. It's never going to replace the actual talent and that goes into creating a plot and a story. I understand that they can do it, you know, with AI, but I still think that there's always going to be a place for actual filmmakers, just like there's still filmmakers that cut and shoot in film. And I just think that it's always going to be, it's just going to be a lot less now people that have the skills you have. And I see that as a positive on the other side. I really do feel like we're in a situation where there's going to be a renaissance in all the arts that'll kind of go back to as intended. And so I look forward to that. But I know that you've had to adapt with all of this.
Yeah. Well, one good thing is that, I mean, video is much cheaper. That part is good. That part's good. But I was specific with my, you know, cinematographers, my editors. I said, I want this to look like film as much as possible. You know, so you have to work with that to try, you know, and you do that with lighting and, but it's cheaper. And, you know, so that part's good. So I very good. I wouldn't have been able to shot 9 films if it was on film.
But you had to adapt. People have to understand that you have to constantly adapt. The technology is changing so much. Now, another thing about you, and we'll get into the film now, is that you actually have a very large investment in terms of empathy and compassion. So when you do speak to the victims, in your films, you get to them, they trust you, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's a very different experience watching. I've seen other documentaries on it, but because you've dedicated so much time and you've gone in person to all these places, there's a real feeling that these people that normally would never trust do trust you. And that must be a really gratifying for you. But then when you're watching it, do you relive it when you see the film, when you watch the film, it must be hard. It had to have affected you psychologically and emotionally to some extent. It's impossible for it not to have.
Yeah. You know, people ask me that all the time. I mean, I do know my poor interns, student interns, they must hear me say, you know, when I'm watching the footage, you know, creep, jerk, I go on every time, you know, 1,000 times I'm saying it. And people ask, how has it affected you? And I'm sure it has. One of the founders of the organization said, Kelly, what are you doing for you? And I go, what do you mean? She goes, well, are you in therapy? And I said, for what? Should I be? She goes, yeah, for trauma transference. I go, oh, I didn't know I should be. And then I have a masseuse that's very spiritual. Yeah. And she says, Kelly, and she thinks that's why I needed a hip replacement. She
maybe.
Goes, all of our emotions go to our hips.
Right.
I said, well, maybe.
I remember that from yoga, hearing that about your hips, you know, and that it does transfer into your body. But you know what, though, I think that the exchange that you have with a lot of the victims that you do talk to is probably cathartic on both. So, you know that you're giving somebody that voice that they didn't
absolutely
have. Yeah, it's incredible.
I haven't been trafficked, because trafficking is when you have no choice. You know, you've been stripped of any dignity and humanity. But I have been exploited as an actress, and we've discussed it. So that I can identify with the girls, you know, and it's important. Yeah. Yeah.
And, yeah. I mean, it's on a different level, but still, you and I both came up at the same time, and it's disillusionment, it's disappointment, and there's just so many layers. And I guess you also had that already, so you had that deep knowledge of, you know, how that feels. Now I wanted to talk about, so the video that we are talking about today that Rob and I just watched, I mean it's phenomenal. When I say that you are such a good filmmaker, on top of the content, it really is captivating every minute. Your interviews, especially with some of the people that you talked to that were rescuers as well. This happened to be in Iraq. So why did you choose Iraq? What brought you there? Because I talk on the show a lot about the lie that was a lot of the war on terror, and what we left behind, especially in Iraq and Libya. And you went to see it firsthand. So let's talk a little bit about why you chose Iraq and what you found when you went down, went in the experience. Yeah.
So after my trip to Thailand and Cambodia, I definitely knew I was going to go global, you know, and I came home and joined the human trafficking ministry at my church. Nice. And Pastor Kevin Brown, who's in the film, and he was there because he also has an organization here in Orange County called Side by Side Church. And so he happened to be there. And I, you know, he told me what he was doing in Iraq. So I went up to him and I said, I got to go. I told him what I did. I had already, I could send him the link, you know, to the short. And so he said, yeah. And we've become, you know, steadfast friends. He's amazing. And, so your viewers will get a chance to see him in, yeah. in the, he's also in the, one of the little videos on YouTube, you know, I think Sex Trafficking Near Disneyland. I think that's the one he's in, because he does a lot of work here in Orange County. But long story short, I didn't even know sex trafficking. I should have known because it's everywhere, but I didn't even know it existed in Iraq until I met Pastor Kevin.
Right.
And at that time, it was during ISIS, and it was during, you know, it was when it basically was a genocide. You know, the ISIS killed all the men, the Yazidi men. And they made the older women labor slaves and made the younger girls sex slaves. And they made the little boys ISIS soldiers. Horrific. It was just horrific. And I'd have to say, out of all the interviews, and I was in 9 countries, during the interviews in Iraq were the hardest. Like, I even cried in one. My Cindy came up to me and goes, are you okay? Because it was just horrific what ISIS had done to these girls and women.
Yeah. And did anyone there blame us? You know, blame the war itself, that the war happened at all. Did you talk to anyone that said that life there, how life was before we went into Iraq, or did you not find any? Maybe nobody's left. I don't know.
Well, what I found, and I was like in shock and pleasantly surprised, but you know, we flew into Erbil, but we had to drive over to Kurdistan, and when you're in Kurdistan, it's only 20 miles from Mosul where ISIS was bombing, and people were just going about their ordinary life because they're so safe. And I felt it myself. You know, the Kurdish army is unbelievable, but it's also because of aesthetics. They're a mountain is behind them. So there's only one way in and one way out. Oh, okay. So if ISIS came, they'd be killed in immediate. So they never bothered Kurdistan. And therefore the people in Kurdistan walking around like normal life, it was kind of surreal, but also the people in Kurdistan loved Trump. I actually watched Trump's inauguration in Iraq, which was surreal.
That's crazy.
And they love him. Like, so Pastor Kevin told me, because he knows that I talk a lot, and he goes, Kelly, when we go to borders, just don't say anything. Just don't talk. Okay. So when I get there, they would ask me specifically, so do you like Trump? And I'm like, is this a trick question? Are they going to shoot me? So I said, I love Trump. And they go, oh, come in. And they would bring out the tea. And Pastor Kevin was like, what's going on?
Wow. Interesting. It's good to hear. It's good to hear. We are in such propaganda, such cognitive warfare right now that people don't even realize, like, that people saw him all over the world as a liberator and a voice and ending the wars, endless wars. You know, we're in a whole bunch right now, which I'm sure you'll get to.
Kurdistan. Do you know what I mean? The rest of Iraq and Syria, no, they didn't feel the same. But and in the film, you probably saw it, that I asked the commander, I don't know what the question I asked him, but the answer was, he said Obama was to blame for ISIS.
Right.
He clearly said it.
Yeah. And a lot of people are a lot more people are awake to what happened there. You know, for me, I've done full shows on what happened in Libya. And Libya right now is just a human trafficking disaster. Both of these wars, you can now question what they were really about, which is sad, you know, for especially for vets. But so you went in there. So let's tell a little bit about the people that you did meet, the trafficking situation, and what is going on there and is still going on there. Because at the end of it, you talk about Afghanistan, which I want to get to, because that how we left Afghanistan is such a travesty, and it does connect.
So what I'll tell you why I brought in Afghanistan. Number one, it's important because human trafficking is going to happen to the women and children there after, you know, the debacle of Biden pulling out. But the reason I brought that in is because the time I started editing the Iraq part of 26 Seconds, you know, it was way after the fact. And I'm going, how am I going to connect this to be relevant? And so how I did it was, you know, I used what the commander had said, that Obama was responsible. And then in the end, as you saw, I brought in what happened in Afghanistan. And what the point I was trying to make is, we've learned nothing from all these endless wars in Iraq. Here it's happening again in Afghanistan. It's going to happen in Ukraine. It's going to happen in Israel. I mean, it just goes on and on. We learn nothing because they don't want to learn anything. They're causing it. Right. That's why.
And the aftermath of war leaves, you know, collateral damage that people don't think about, which is what was happening to these women and children and little boys and all these that were left behind. You know, we can go all the way back to the people that were left behind in Vietnam, let alone everywhere else. But that's really what you came upon. Now, let's talk a little bit about the girls that you spoke to. I mean, people did know about the Yazidi and what happened there, but not really. Not like, you know, it really brought back a lot of memories to me when I was watching the movie. I thought like, oh, I totally remember that happening, but it wasn't painted. And I think a lot of times we're being so propagandized that we don't think about the collateral consequences, which are real people that end up in terrible situations. And we kind of walk away and they're stuck there.
Hi guys, thank you for watching the show. You know, I'm always telling you to be prepared and expect the unexpected. Well, the Wellness Company has great medical emergency kits to make sure you can do just that. In a world where supply chain vulnerabilities threaten our access to life-saving medication, I highly recommend you get a Wellness Company medical emergency kit. With 8 essential medications, including amoxicillin, Z-Pak, and ivermectin, you can be prepared for any medical emergency that comes your way. They have a medical emergency kit, a contagion kit, a emergency travel kit, and a first aid emergency kit. To support your own health and support the Mel Kay Show, please go to twc.health/MelKay now and use code MelKay for big savings at checkout. Don't wait until it's too late. Take back control of your health today with the Wellness Company medical emergency kit. Because when it comes to your family's well-being, preparedness is key. The Wellness Company, empowering you to face the unexpected with confidence.
Well, and I don't want everyone to think it was like Disneyland in Iraq, because they did put me in a hotel and they brought all the survivors and the people that interviewed to me. Like, they weren't going to just let, you know, even remember calling. I said, please call the commander and tell him I have to get B footage. I have to go. And he said, absolutely not. She cannot. And so I said, no, I have to get B footage. So then I don't know if I've told you the story before. It was hilarious. So he said, I'll send you a few people and we'll take you so far. And I said, okay. Well, 3 little girls showed up. And I mean little girls, 18, 20, and 21. And I was like, could you get the commander back on the phone? So I said, why do I have 3 little girls? And he says, believe me, you're safer with them than men, because ISIS will run. They do not want to be killed by women. I said, then why isn't the whole army filled with women? And we'll get this war over. He started laughing.
Right, I'm sure. Sure. So, but they kept you safe. But in general, yeah, it's not safe. Like, they still had to protect you. You couldn't just go around. Like, it's still dangerous.
Well, I had someone with me at all times. But in Kurdistan, I would say it was safe,
right?
But I had to go outside of Kurdistan, you know, near Mosul and near, you know, Erbil, and that's wasn't safe at the time, because you know, Mosul hadn't been liberated yet. It was right. I mean, soon after that, Trump went in and, you know, annihilated ISIS and it was gone. But at that time, they were still there. So the girls I had, I interviewed probably 6 girls. I only picked 3, you know, because you only have so much in a film, and I wanted show how young. That's why I picked the 7-year-old, because she was actually trafficked when she was 5.
Right.
The 21-year-old was trafficked when she was 18. The girl that had a baby, she was trafficked like 5 to 7 days after she had her baby. And then the other girl was 18 when I interviewed her, but she was 15 when she was trafficked. And so those are the 3 I picked. But I have to say, there was a woman, she was probably 45, but she looked 65.
Right.
And she, you know, the entire time I was interviewing, she rocked. I mean, she wasn't okay. She had 12 children. All 12 were abducted. All 12. No, it gets worse. Mel. It was almost like Sophie's Choice.
Oh.
So all the boys they made into ISIS sex slaves, all the girls they made into, the boys into ISIS soldiers, the girls into sex slaves. She herself was a labor slave. She had one child that was in a wheelchair, and mentally too, he was not 100%. So she like begged ISIS. It's like Sophie's Choice. She said, please take any of my children, but him, he won't survive. You know, and you saw what Pastor Kevin said. He hit her in the head. They took the kid, and you know, they disposed of him because what can they do with him? It was awful. That's the interview that I cried, and my Cindy was like, are you okay? No, I'm not okay. This woman was not okay.
No. Wow. That's rough. And these, the very young girl, terrible. I mean,
strong.
Yeah, I know. They are so strong. But that little girl, how did you feel about when you were talking to her? What were you getting off of her? Were you getting off of her that, you know, she's resilient, or is she going to be able to, I don't know. It's so sad, especially at that such a young age. What was your feeling talking to her?
The 7-year old?
Yeah.
You mean the 7-year old? Yeah. Very strong and resilient. Was humble. I mean, you know, when you go through that kind of life, you're very mature for your age. You know, it's like I was talking to a 15-year-old or a 12-year-old. Well, you know what I mean? Like she was very mature for her age. But I asked her, I wanted to take her home. I said, I would love to, because all her family got killed.
I know.
Except
for
like one sister that went to Germany and a few siblings, but you know, her parents were killed, but she didn't want to. She said, no, I want to stay here. Okay.
Wow. Well, she's, that's what she knows, you know, but it did seem that way. Now you spoke to a couple different people there, adults that are there that are in the rescue world. How has it changed? How did they feel? Did they feel that things were, well, it was a couple years ago. So what were their feelings? What did you feel you were getting from the people that you were interviewing that were helping people?
Well, Cahill and Amina are amazing. Cahill was an attorney, and Amina was in the parliament, the Iraqi parliament. Both of them quit their jobs because they had their own family members that were abducted. Right. So they created this underground mission to that. Those Cahill and Amina is who Pastor Kevin was friends with. That's how I had access to them.
Right.
And after probably about 6 months after I interviewed them, they moved to Germany. So at that time, they didn't feel safe. Yeah. And they're still in Germany.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, Germany's now has its own problems. So, but then they probably not. Now, let's talk about the left behind is a big issue, because we saw what happened in Afghanistan, and I believe that will be revisited. But they left behind all those people. They also took, 60,000 Afghanis that were unvetted here. And you made a good point at the end about, the children and the women that were taken that also were unvetted, and now they're probably being trafficked in America. Certainly there were people left behind. You know, I think we need to also talk about, like you said before, what happens when we leave a war zone and what's left behind.
This is the issue. We get in, we create massive destruction, and we get out and leave chaos.
Yeah.
This is the problem.
Yeah,
this is the problem. And I think that we shouldn't go into any war.
I don't either.
I mean, the money they're spending in Ukraine, Israel, yes, they're our allies, and they're our core in the whole of Middle East. For sure, Israel, we should be helping. But all of this money that we give to wars, like, what is it going to be at the end of Ukraine? Like,
no, nothing. You know what it is. Yeah. You also told me a long time ago that Ukraine was a hub for child and sex trafficking before. Now we're getting all this information about organ trafficking and all this other stuff. The whole entire Ukraine thing is a travesty. You know, last week, I don't know if you saw it, the New York Times had one of the Russia hoax, you know, I call them the Intel newspaper. They had one of the Russian Russia hoax reporters who knew they were lying the whole time, supposedly be able to see, 12 CIA bases that have been in Ukraine since 2009, 2014, when Obama overthrew overthrew the duly elected government there and started running Ukraine. But, you know, it's so sad because what you see, I don't know if you've been seeing the footage of the people, they don't want to fight. And they like, if you're a man and you are fighting age and you haven't already been pulled out of your home or they're forcing these people to fight and they know that they're not going to make it. And it's just, it's terrible to watch, and to think that we're funding it is even worse. But now what they say though too, is that the sex trafficking is, it was always bad, but that it is terrible in Ukraine now.
What they do is they sex traffic them, make as much money as they can, you know, selling a child or a woman over and over and over and over again. And then when they're all used up, then they kill them and get the organs. So they get their money. And, you know, Ukraine also had, 21? It might even be more, 21 biolab.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know, at the end of this, there's going to be millions of lives lost in Ukraine, trillions of dollars that we've spent, the American people, and Russia's still going to claim probably half of Ukraine or all of it. I mean,
yeah. It's such a travesty. Now, I wanted to also tell people, because you and I, we talked about the border during Trump's administration, me and you, and you were already going down there. You're in California, so you were already like, there's something, you know, we have to pay attention. Now, I saw somebody just put out the number 85,000. No. What I've heard from people that know what's going on, at least 300,000 unaccompanied minors, they call them.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure I've had on a bunch of the whistleblowers that, especially the ones from Pomona Raceway, I guess they set up at somewhere near Pomona. They set up a place where they were taking the kids, and then they had to get them wherever to unvetted, basically sponsors within 10 days, in and out. Mm-hmm. You were on top of that really early. So let's talk a little bit about the American aspect. One of the big complaints that I saw about Sound of Freedom was that people were saying, but America's the worst in child sex trafficking and human trafficking. And why aren't, they're making it look like it's in Colombia. It's not here. And here is where it's the worst. Now, the worst is subjective. We don't know if that's true.
I don't know if it's the worst, because I think it is bad worldwide. It's in every country, every state, every city, and of course, online. And that goes, you know, worldwide. So I don't know if it's the worst, but what I do know is America causes the demand of sex trafficking with all the pornography. They cause the demand of it worldwide. But it's horrible here, and people don't know that. They think, oh, it's in a third world country. It's in India. It's in Thailand. They don't know that it's here, and it is absolutely alive and well here and awful.
Do you think that the majority of pornography is coming out of America?
I think so.
So do I. I had on somebody earlier that's like fighting a case against Pornhub, and that is a huge business. I mean, and it's protected, very protected. I had on somebody also, Oodles Wallace, who is sponsored the Protect Act because of all these people that are being exploited now on the internet. I mean, it's a big problem, and it doesn't appear that our government or our law enforcement is even doing anything about that, let alone what you're talking about. So you went to 5 different locations and kind of dug in and met people. I saw a couple in one of you put out some really good shorts already about this. So let's talk a little bit about the American piece and also how that relates to the border and what's going on there right now.
Yeah. So right now we're in talks with, and I think it's going to happen, getting funding to do a doc series, 26 Seconds USA docuseries.
Right.
And I'm going to focus to start the doc series on the issue at the border, because people thought, it was 80,000. No. It's like 300,000 children. And who knows? We don't know anything.
We don't know.
There's underground tunnels that they have. We have no idea. We have no idea those numbers. So I want to start at the border to show what it's causing. And because I'm at the Tijuana border, because it was close to my home, you know, I shot Southern California, which was San Diego, Orange County, at Los Angeles, Bakersfield, Las Vegas. And I also even shot at the Super Bowl. Only because it's in Minneapolis, and it takes, because we're going to be saying, sex trafficking in the Southwest, caused by the border. So I don't know if I'm going to bring in the Super Bowl, but bottom line, it is also all traffickers cross state lines, and they like to keep moving the girls, number one, so they're disoriented, but also they keep going where they're so that they don't get caught, number one, but also because they're going to go where the money is. So eventually they all end up in Orange County because that's where they make the most money.
Yeah. Yeah.
And in San Diego too, because they have sports, they have these convention centers, they have, so, when men are away on business, just like at the Super Bowl, when they're away, they're.
And in one of the shorts that I've saw of yours also, you did tackle the transgender mm-hmm. aspect of this, which is a very big deal because, there's a lot of, you can't even use the word misinformation. There's a lot of propaganda that's not necessarily true, that transgender people are being hunted or they're being killed. Oftentimes it is transgender people that are in the sex industry or being trafficked that are. So absolutely. You also had that experience as well, where you were talking to transgender people that were sex trafficked or stuck in the business. Because, as well as I know, once you get sucked into that world and you have a pimp or whatever, yeah. It's very hard to get out. That is trafficking. I think people don't think it's the same because you're not moving from place to place, but you're a prisoner.
Absolutely. And especially them. And that's why I wanted to include those yeah. three women that I met, because they came from Mexico. So they didn't have papers and green cards. So bottom line is trafficking happens to the vulnerable. So being not having paper is also a vulnerability. They got to make money. Right. But I wanted to highlight that because of the border issue, but also because they're being targeted because they don't have working papers. Right. But also because of their customers. I was in shock. They were military guys down in San Diego. They were the police officers, they're lawyers. And I'm like, what? So, and these are heterosexual men.
Right, right.
Going important. To transgenders, So I wanted to highlight that. I mean.
Yeah. I mean, you talk to everyone. When I say that this was not, like you say, and we've talked about it before, but this was like some kind of mission from God. But the craziest part was that all these people talk to you as if there wasn't a camera there, which is a real gift that you have to interviewing these people, because you felt like you were really listening to them. One of the transgender trafficking victims was heartbreaking, and it's hard to understand, because what you just said is very important, and I want people that are watching this to understand. All because they're coming across the border, they're undocumented, whatever. Then we know from Tara Rodas and Aaron Stevenson and other people I've had on who are whistleblowers from DHS and from all of that, that they are literally, the whole goal is to, and these NGOs are paid millions of dollars. They process them, and then somebody applies. They're barely checking their credentials, and then they're gone in the night, and that's it. And so, because they don't have papers and they don't have family and they don't have any connections, you don't know who they're with. This is so dangerous. And I can't even believe that there are people, especially when you see people on CNN or MSNBC or any of these real left-wing people that think that are being upset about the border is not real, is not true. Can you even, knowing right. what you know, when you hear that, you must be just beside yourself.
Well, I want your audience to know I'm not pro at all illegals being here. I think people need to be in this country legally, but they were already here. What I'm trying to highlight is who the traffickers target, the right. vulnerable, and the customers. Who it could be anyone. It could be a pastor at church. Like, it's unbelievable to me.
Yeah,
it's from A
is
to Z.
Is that the most shocking thing to you? Is who the customers are?
Yeah. Every survivor I interviewed would always say cops, which breaks my heart because I'm pro blue.
I know, me too.
So it's heartbreaking for me. But bottom line is this, there's good and bad in whatever walk right. of life we're in. Right. Should I get my dog? He keeps barking.
It doesn't bother me. It doesn't bother you.
Okay.
No. It's okay. Fine. No, yeah, I mean, that's the other thing, because somebody, I've dealt with a bunch of them too. And one woman that I dealt with that was trafficked and really in bad shape, it was a judge that was like the most abusive to
yeah.
her.
Yeah.
So, you yeah. know, And people are just starting to see that. Along the way, how much did you find of people that were trafficked through the system, like CPS or any of that? Did you come across any victims that were in the system and were that's where they were found or trafficked through?
Yeah, there's this one. There were a few of them, but one that comes to my mind mostly, and you'll know why when I tell you the story, because it's horrific. She was in the Philippines as a little girl. Her mother was trafficking her. The mother just left to America, left the little girl. She was 5 years old. So some man befriends her and traffics her. Then she was rescued by social services, brought here to America, and then trafficked in the system. So it gets worse, Mel. So she, Magdalene Hope is a Pastor Doug Bennett. Magdalene Hope is the one that rescued her. She had two children by Johns, a little boy, and she called him her strength. And she had a little girl. And she called her her hope. She was smart as hell. She was an engineer. She was going to engineer school on a bicycle, dropping her babies in front of her, her kids in the basket, dropping her kid, like unbelievable. So I interview her, and my heart breaks. 2 weeks after the interview, she was in a car accident, and her son died. The baby.
Oh boy. Lived. Oh.
So gets worse. So Pastor Doug says, Kelly, can I get that interview because her baby's my goddaughter, and I want to get custody. I said, absolutely. So I gave him the interview. Do you know what social services said? No, we're going to give her to the grandmother. The grandmother is the one that trafficked her mother.
Oh my God, that's so horrible. And these stories, they're never ending. And then, you know, I've interviewed a bunch of people too, that when the parent is arrested, even if it's on BS charges and everything, that the kid's never seen again. I mean, there's a huge, huge problem with when they take kids away, and it's getting worse, I think. And you know, it's so crazy now, after all of this, cause you've been doing this a long time, way before most people were even talking about it. So now you see the normalization, it appears to me, not just of, the sexualization, LGBTQ+ kind of, from kindergarten, before kindergarten, it's totally embedded in our schools. We know that they've counselors and Planned Parenthood with the hormones and all of that. After everything you've learned, watching this must be just so red alarm to you and just so disturbing, because you know where it's leading.
Well, I'm getting, I've been on this topic a long time. I'm so happy the news is talking about it. I'm so happy Sound of Freedom, you know, created awareness. But, you know, I'm 60, and I'm saying the next chapter of my life, I want to be where I am equally yoked spiritually and politically. So that's why I'm going to start teaching at Biola University. It's a Christian university in the fall. So I'm, you know, they have the same beliefs as me, and also Epic TV. And I'm so excited about it. They asked me to do like a talk show, like to interview.
They're friends of ours. We love them. Cool. That's awesome.
I'm so happy.
Well, you just, I mean, you have tremendous talent, but like I said, not everyone can get people to open up the way that you did. So that's perfect for you to be doing a talk show to really get to the heart of the matter. You have a real gift for that. And now what do you want? First, tell the audience why you call it 26 seconds.
Yeah. 26 seconds is a statistic. Every 26 seconds, a child is trafficked globally. But I think the number's much worse, because we don't know the online trafficking, which is rampant. We don't know those numbers, and we don't know the numbers of the underground trafficking. So it's much worse. But the statistic with the Human Trafficking Task Force and the Human Trafficking Coalition every 26 seconds a child's trafficked globally.
Yeah,
and Mel, the number hasn't changed since I started. That's horrific.
I know. And people think it has now. Now, Rob was saying to you before, and we've said this before, even with Sound of Freedom, there's a lot of people that will not even acknowledge that this is real. I had on Derek Bros the other day. He had covered a story called The Finders. It was like from the 90s where they found these kids like naked in a van with these men with suits on, a whole story that then ended up getting squashed by the government, our government. And then, you know, there's many stories like the Franklin scandal, you know, whatever was going on. There's many of them over the years. Obviously, NXIVM was one. People still don't understand Epstein was about children or what was going on there. But this is a topic that most people. Nothing. They can't go there. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to see it. I know it's changing a little. What do you think that's about? We are right now in $34 trillion worth of debt. We have geopolitical chaos everywhere. The central bank digital currency is looming. The BRICS nations have expanded beyond Saudi Arabia and continue to expand. And all I know is that many experts keep telling me that gold and silver is the best way to hedge against inflation and to protect your savings going forward. Did you know you can convert your 401k and IRA into physical gold and silver today? It can be shipped direct to your door or stored in a secure location. So go to our partners page at themelkayshow.com, fill out the form, and someone from Beverly Hills Precious Metals will get in touch with you right away to help you figure out the best course for you and your family ahead. Stay secure, stay safe, and prepare now.
Well, I don't think it's just human trafficking. I think it's our entire country is like, they just want it back to normal. And what they don't get is it's never going to be back how it was. You can't fix things backwards, only forward. So first you have to create awareness. This is what it is. And not just about human trafficking, but everything politically that's going on, right? And we have to fix it forward. And it will never be like before. It's not the 50s, like, the American dream, it's over.
Did you find in your travels, did you find anything that, because a big part of when you look at it in terms of, I'm sure you're seeing what's coming out about Puff Daddy, obviously the Epstein case, NXIVM, Nygaard. I mean, you and I both were in Hollywood for, 25, 30, you were even longer than me. So are you seeing more, I guess that people are, at least aware or do you think people are seeing it? Because right now, I mean, after I saw at least your documentaries, but also Sound of Freedom, when I see a little kid by themselves, especially a little girl, I am all over it. Like, where are their parents? Where are that?
Good.
Do you think that there is more awareness out there? I mean, I'm sure that's part of what you think, why you're doing this, but do you believe that there is?
I do, because every day in the news, it's mentioned now. And then Sound of Freedom brought it out in a big way. And I remember telling my supervising producer, I was like, I'm so happy for Sound of Freedom, but oh my gosh, does that mean my project? And he goes, no, yours are real people, documentaries. Yeah. And we'll to be able to follow up with Sound of Freedom, now that Sound of Freedom has kind of, opened up people's eyes in a big way, then they now can click on and see documentaries of real survivors of what really
happened.
Yeah,
and I knew you and I knew that before. I mean, obviously I'd seen Sound of Freedom 3.5 years before it came out, but you were working on it even before then. Now, did you ever see anything having to do with blackmail or any of that? Because a lot of this, especially in Hollywood and in politics, even in Wall Street, sex trafficking, especially of children, is used in blackmail operations. Did you ever come across anyone that was used in that way?
That's all in throughout Hollywood and politically. Thank God I have one person. My attorney knew her. He has a lawsuit, but she was trafficked with the whole Epstein thing, and she knew of those containers. So she's going to be in my doc.
Right. Good. Very important. Very important, because those people might not even know that they were used, because in a lot of these cases, and certainly we both know in Hollywood, that you don't know that you're being filmed, you don't know. And the kid doesn't know, the adult doesn't know, you won't know until they need something from you. And then
was one survivor I interviewed. She was actually, I interviewed her in San Diego, but she was originally from Israel, and she went her whole life to, anyways. I mean, usually every survivor I interviewed, they'd all had been molested as children. So they already are, their dignity and their, the value of themselves has been stripped. So they're easily targeted. Anyhow, she went into a modeling interview.
Yeah.
And they raped her in there, and they were filming it. She didn't know. And then years later, she was on the black market.
Hello. I just had somebody on talking about it. This is a real problem. And now it's so crazy. They sexualized everything so much that they're really normalizing all of it. And I feel like they're on their way to trying to, I've seen twice this week, both of these people, they're in the government and they're both in California, a real big problem up there in San Francisco, where they're trying to normalize pedophilia. I mean, and anyone that's denying that that's happening is, I don't understand how you don't see this.
It's absolutely happening. I mean, they have books in schools. This is what these Moms for Liberty are trying to do, is get these books away from little kindergartners and first and second graders. And now they're on the terrorist list, these women.
I know.
Anyways, these books, though, are show. It's not like a little boy with another little boy. It's a little boy with a man. Giving.
And they talk about it like minor attractive person. There's that one guy in San Francisco, Scott Wiener, like that they tried to change the laws, that it's not really a criminal offense. I mean, all kinds of things. And you and I both know it's coming all the way from UNESCO and Gates Foundation. I mean, it's just really, really crazy and sick. But it is something that people have to be aware of. Now, I am very excited for your USA side of this, but I really do recommend everyone watch the Iraq piece.
Do you have access, Mel, to show the trailers?
Oh, yeah, we're going to show them. Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah, because on the YouTube channel, the Iraq trailer's there and the USA docuseries.
Yeah, we're going to put them on. We're going to put them at the end of this interview, too. And obviously links to your channels and to the movie. But I did want to leave this on a positive note, because you vetted a lot of rescues. And this is a big thing. You know, I'm very close with Kathy O'Brien and multiple other people who've been terribly abused, trafficked, everything you could think of, because I put myself out there a long time ago to be somebody people could come to. But you actually have seen a lot of success in recovery. And what you said before is really important. You teamed up, and you have it on your website, too, a bunch of these great groups. So you had the one that was flight attendants that were doing this and yes. All different church groups. I had somebody on that was one of the groups that I think was in St. Louis. But what you said before is important. What we have learned is that there are a handful, and some of them very, very big rescues that either A, are participating in it, or B, they raise a lot of money, and then they kind of the kids are on their own. And like you said the last time you were on, it's a lifelong healing. So just talk a little bit about what happens when somebody is rescued, best case scenario, and what people should be looking at when they're donating or whatever. What are the keys to you to a rescue that is doing their job as a rescue?
I personally partner with nonprofit Christian organizations, not to say that some of them aren't aren't on the up and up too, but I partnered with a nonprofit Christian organization. I also looked at their background, you know, and what they were doing. And then I was really lucky, because then once I trusted a few of them, then they're the ones that kept introducing me to other ones. So they were all, you know what I mean? And they're smaller organizations, you know. Yeah. I would say to your audience, just donate to issues that matter to you and to small nonprofits, not the Red Crosses, not the Clinton Foundations, not the Gates Foundations. No. Small organizations that are in the trenches doing the work and that really need money to continue the great work they're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying Christian organizations, because there could be great. I mean, look,
those are the ones that you got into a network, because I'm going to tell people to go to your website. You got into a network where you got to know these people. And then, because I talked to through you a couple different organizations, small ones that deal with their community. There are community organizations.
That's right.
There are local organizations where you can get to know the people. You can vet them yourselves. But then the other thing is that there has to also be a plan. Like, you can't just save somebody and that's it. There's actually a lot of healing. It's got to be long term. And you know what you said last time when we talked about this, you said a lot of these when they are rescued, that especially if they were in it for a long time, getting out is so hard and it's lonely and isolating. And sometimes they go back just because they don't know how to go forward. So it's like you were saying last time, it's a lifelong healing that's important.
It's for sure. I mean, even you and I, if we had bad experience in relationships, it's kind of a lifelong healing. Can you imagine 5 to 10 times a night being raped? against your will. I mean, you know, completely. And they're beat, they're starved, they're, I mean, you know, it's horrific. So this is the problem. Little kids, yes, can be rescued. Lifelong, they have to go into a restoration where they have traumatic therapy for trauma.
Right.
They have to. But the old, anyone 18 and older, and this is where my heart breaks, because they were trafficked usually as kids,
right?
You know, from 5 to 15 years old or whatever. And then they're still in the life at 18. Now they're considered adults. So they don't get the same. They don't look at them the same. And they should. Because at 18, they're still 12 emotionally, first of all. But, but anyways, 18 and up, it's the law. They have to say, I will go with you. And most of them don't. By then they've fallen in love with their pimps. They say, I'm not going with you. I'm not ratting out on him. So it's a hard, so all you can do is plant the seed. So this is what Pastor Doug and Pastor Kevin do. They go on the streets and they give them like bracelets with a number. They'll, you know, they pray for them. They'll give them a little bag, like with whatever things they need. And they'll say, if you ever want to get out, here's a number. And sometimes they'll call and sometimes they won't.
Right.
But they have to want to. That's the tragedy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because otherwise you're abducting them just like the trafficker did. You can't take force them.
Right.
Children, yes. But 18, but for me, that is heartbreaking, because a lot of them were in it as children.
Right.
And you know what? You and I, as grown adults, I mean, sex is a bonding experience. If you're 5 to 12, of course you're going to think you're in love with this guy.
Yeah, it's terrible.
I mean, it's terrible.
Yeah,
it's
and it's very scary. But you know, you are one of the people out there that's really, really made a big difference. And like I said, when you can't, and like you come at it from a very different angle. You're not like making it. You're not exploiting it. You're not making it entertainment. You come at it from a very, very intimate level. Which is, I think, where people have to see it. Cause also, and I'll send people to your channel as well. Cause you have a couple of videos on your channel too, of what you're talking about, girls that, you know, they're in also the revolving door of jail, you know, and in and out of jail. And then they're treated by the law enforcement as garbage. And you don't know their story. And like you said, a lot of times these are girls that were trafficked and then they turn 18 and then they're treated like it was their choice or garbage. It's very, very difficult. But I think that your the compassion and empathy that you come at it from is really it stays with the viewer, which is why you've won so many awards and why it has made such a difference and why Epoch Times or Epic Times, we all call it both, is involved, because, you know, we have to really start understanding the amount of trauma we all have in many ways, but these victims, they are treated, it seems to me, like throwaways. And then, you know, when people do heal themselves and their lives, they can be re-traumatized by other things. So it's just a lifelong process, and you've done such great work. I want everyone to, we'll put the trailer to both.
I real quickly want to say,
yeah, go ahead.
My experience and the people, the survivors I've interviewed, what has healed them is God. Without God in the mix, I don't know if it's possible, Mel.
Yeah.
Don't know if it's possible.
I don't either.
You know, they have anyhow.
No, I know. And I also, but I also from day one always felt that God had you on a mission. There's no way you ended up in all those places in the right place at the right time to
Absolutely.
Get the right person. There is, I mean, the things that you've seen and you've experienced and really been able to bring to us to see and understand. I mean, there are times sometimes when I think about some of the different pieces on your YouTube channel, when I see people and I know, and you know, it's just really important to empathize and to really have compassion and understand where these people are coming from. And it's a real gift that you have.
Favorite organizations, and I just want to give a shout out because I hope they end up being in every city and every state in America, but it's called Saved in America, and they're ex-Navy SEALs that come out. They have all these skills and now they're rescuing girls from the sex trade. So it's like, it's this great organization that helps them both.
Yeah.
I love that
organization. And that's probably a lot of what happened with you, with God and bringing them together, because you can tell your interviews are very, they seem to be cathartic for the person you're interviewing, but probably for you too, just because you've been through it all. Tell everyone where to find you, where to follow you. Stay tuned after this. We will have the trailers for both the Iraq piece and the U.S. piece. So go ahead. You have all kinds of things out there. I want people to follow and keep watching you go.
Well, definitely my website, which I'm sure you'll put it in the description, but 26secondsdoc.com. My YouTube channel, 26 Seconds YouTube channel. If you go to the website on the homepage, you can click on subscribe to my YouTube and it'll take you straight there. Cool. What else? Oh, and then the feature is on Epoch. And you'll put that in the
description. Yeah, we'll put the link
for them as well.
Yeah, and I highly recommend everyone watch that, especially with what's going on at the border. It cannot be more important right now than to realize that right now the Biden regime is facilitating a terrible, probably the worst human trafficking ring ever known. And they are in cahoots with other people. And it's up to we, the people, to be aware and to be alert and to get involved and stand up. And nobody has stood up like you. Thank you so much, Kelly. All your links are below. Let me know what you're doing when you're doing it. You're always welcome here to come share your work or anything that happens, any experience that you want to come share with the people. I think it's important that they hear from people that are really on the front lines. And you are, and you have the receipts. And thank you so much. I really appreciate you. And I'm very grateful to call you a friend. You're really amazing. Thank you.
Thank you, Mel, for your support.
See you soon. Mm-hmm.
The more girls that talk, the more scared they're going to become. And the more times that we talk, the more girls are going to try to shut up. And they call us snitches, by the way. We're dirty in the game.
No woman and no girl wakes up one morning and says, hey, I want to sell my body for the rest of my life and I want to make money from it. Not one.
I had no idea that somebody who was making money off of me was trafficking me.
I was sleeping with doctors, lawyers, officers, men that were married, men that had kids my age.
That night was my rude awakening. That night, the first night I got sex trafficked. Took all my money. He beat me.
I remember him hitting me so hard one time I was knocked out.
You know, I've had a gun held to my head. I've been pistol whipped. I've had a huge gash.
If I came in and said, hey, daddy, I could only make 600 tonight, I was getting knocked out.
I always thought the more I would love them, the more I would do, the more I would obey, that I would get the one thing that I never had was love.
I loved that man with all my heart. For 5 years, I didn't care what anyone said about him because I loved that man. I would have died for that man, and he knew it.
People didn't understand why I wouldn't leave, because my normal was getting hit upside my head. My normal was sleeping with men 10 to 15 times a night. Like, that was my normal, performing anal sex and oral sex at 12, 13, 14 years old. I fell in love with him, because everything that was normal in my life that was happening had happened to me while I was a kid.
It's that time of year again. People are getting sick. They're getting the flu. They're getting the cold. They're getting all different kinds of things. And I have always been very grateful for my friendship with Dr. Zelenko, Dr. Z. And though he's not with us anymore and I miss him every day, he has left behind the best remedy to me for anything that ails you. And that is Z-Stack from Dr. Zelenko. There's Z-Flu, Z-Stack, and Z-Kids. There's also many other products there. It's all about naturally boosting your immune health and fighting anything that comes your way. Dr. Zelenko was ahead of his time. He is out there fighting for us still to this day, and he's left behind the best gift. The gift is your health. So go to MelKDrZ.com, or you can go to my partner's page at TheMelKShow.com, click Dr. Z or Z-Stack. Better health for us all awaits. Thank you, Dr. Zelenko. Did you know that there are more than 60,000 known chemicals in tap water, and the EPA only tests for 91 of them? This is why we're so grateful that we partnered with Healthy Hydration. They offer whole home water filtration, shower filters, under-the-counter pre-filters, molecular hydrogen water machines, hydrogen water bottles, and so much more for a healthier home and family. So go to themelkshow.com and click on our partners page and check out Healthy Hydration and everything they have in store for your health and wellness today. ¶¶